May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. We continue our worship this evening as we recount the last days of Jesus' life and ministry before the resurrection. This season that we call Passion Week reminds us of the reason why Jesus came into the world. He came to suffer, to die, and to rise again. This evening is marked by silence. We do not sing as many hymns, canticles, and responses as we normally do. Our service of Maundy Thursday is a solemn, quiet service, our focus being on the death and suffering of Jesus. Jesus came as a sheep before the slaughter. He did not shout nor plead his innocence, but rather in humility submitted himself to the cross. When questioned by the authorities, Jesus gave no response other than to say that all power is ultimately given from God above, words which remind all of us that God is in control of all things, even the death of his own Son. And during this season marked by silence, there's an urge, I think, to say something, to do something. After all, we are Americans. We like the ever-marching forward of progress. We like the lights, the flashing spectacle, the hustle and bustle of cities. Yes, indeed, we are an impatient country. We want the war to have been over yesterday. We want to have our cake, but we also want to eat it. We like to build our houses bigger and our skyscrapers higher. And if you're like me, you want to know how it all ends before you begin. But we cannot know the end from the beginning, for the future is unknown to us. But God knows. He knows the end from the beginning. Jesus knew how it was going to end. And to a small extent, so do we. For we know that Easter Day he rose from the grave, and we know that he will come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead. For us today, this Maundy Thursday, we take time to sit in silence, watching and waiting. The altar is stripped of its linens. The cross is covered. The vestments are simple. The closing hymn is gone. So too the Gloria during Lent. It's gone. All those things that elevate and beautify our worship of God are taken away this evening, and we are left in silent contemplation. And as a brief aside, there's a song called Yellow Taxi with the words, "Don't it always seem to go, that you don't know what you've got until it's gone." For us as Christians, this service is particularly difficult because we know how Passion Week ends. It ends in the glorious resurrection of Jesus, demonstrating his power over death and the grave, which brings assurance of our own bodily resurrection with him who made it possible. And yet the early church, in constructing its calendar, chose to hold us in this moment of silence, this moment when the world looked darkest. This is an uncomfortable evening, like the plague of darkness that fell upon the Egyptians. The night weighs heavy. Such is the burden of our sinfulness. Our sin, which separated us from God, our Creator, is so great and awful that Jesus came into the world to redeem his people. God's redemptive plan began the day Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In Genesis 3, we read the first prophecy regarding God's redemptive plan. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." And with these words, the redemptive plan of God was set in motion. Jesus came to suffer, and the Old Testament stands as a witness that we cannot reconcile ourselves to God on our own. Tonight, Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples, and in doing so, he reveals the mystery of the Old Testament. The explanation comes in word and symbol. A picture for us today that reminds us of who Jesus is. On the night of the Passover feast, the very night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and the wine of the old covenant and declared the true meaning and significance of the Passover feast. Jesus, on this night, makes a new covenant, his body broken and his blood shed for sin. And he said, "As often as you do this in remembrance of me." For Abraham saw the day of the Lord and rejoiced. Likewise, Moses and the disciples foreshadowed the one who was to come, the perfect, spotless Lamb, Jesus our Lord. Jesus, who being made man, was of the right type of sacrifice for the sin of man. Being fully God, he was of sufficient value before the Father to make a whole, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sin of the whole world. Thus, Jesus is our second Adam, who accomplished for us what we could not do for ourselves. The sacrifice of Christ is perfect. It is complete. He offered himself once in a single moment in human history, and all of human history led up to that moment, and all of human history after is forever changed until his coming on the last day. Today we are God's children of the new covenant. Our celebration of Holy Communion stands as a picture of our salvation and redemption. Communion is our spiritual food that we receive by faith from God. It is set apart and consecrated for God's use and our benefit. And as we sit in the uncomfortable silence of this evening, let it be a reminder to us that the world is separated from God and is sitting in the dark solitude of sin and condemnation. Therefore, our response is to pray for the salvation of friends, family, our nation, and the world. And in doing so, let us make our Easter celebration all the more sweeter. Amen.